Prepare to be blown away by Ben and Ralph. Darmalars begins in T-minus 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. The Darmalars podcast begins now.
Sweet, do hand signals to
off,
let us start.
Let's off go. To a great start. Seamless as always here at the Darmalars. Hey everyone, welcome to the Darmalars show. I'm Ben, and with me as always is Ralph.
That's me.
How you doing, Ralph?
Doing good, how are you?
Yeah, I could tell you're doing really good.
I am doing really
fucking
good.
Fucking sour expression.
We'll get into that once we start talking about the episode.
Okay, but until we talk about the episode, what's going on? What do you got going on lately?
Nothing. How was your week?
Pretty good, you know.
Any garlic?
No, not as much garlic.
Oh, I guess it gets good and closer then.
Yeah, if you want.
No, it's all right.
We could use the same microphone like in the old days. Pressed together against the warm glow of a laptop. All right.
That's true. We can. So nothing happened this last week?
Nothing happened this last week. We watched
Halloween shopping?
James Bond as usual. We finished Dalton, thank God.
You know what? Up yours. Dalton's awesome.
Dalton is 50% awesome at best.
Not even 50% awesome.
That's right. Not even 50%.
Like, he's more than 50%.
I disagree, as you know. So we're watching our James Bond movies, and we finished,
License
Revoked. License to Kill. And coming up is GoldenEye, which I'm stoked on, but which Ralph keeps telling me I shouldn't be quite as stoked on.
It's boring.
It's not boring. It's awesome. There's a tank.
But we'll get into that when we discuss Lost. This is how the episode's actually going to be.
If we can just put that on a loop, and we'll be out. We're going to go see Nightmare Before Christmas in 3D this weekend. At least I am. I know you're not.
I'm not.
I'm looking forward to that. You know, Disney Digital 3D. I'm not a huge fan of the film. Like, it's grown on me a lot. But I like going to see 3D movies, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't know.
You don't have your Jack Skellington backpack and your goth girl makeup?
I don't have my Sally the Goth hoodie. I'm not
wearing. You should
that.
Have one.
A friend of mine at work, like 2 weeks ago, had a tattoo of Lock, Stock, and Barrel. Or Shock, I guess. Lock, Shock, and Barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a tattoo for you.
There is. The greatest tattoo I've ever seen was probably about 13 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I was in a bank, and 13 years ago, I was, what am I, I'm 29 now, 13 is what? All right, 13?
16.
What is that, 17? 18, something like that?
You were like 17.
My math is very poor.
Like, anywhere between 20 and 10, you were somewhere in that.
I was somewhere in there. I was definitely old enough to know that the Noid was not a cool tattoo to have.
Snap. The Noid from Domino's?
The Noid. Speaking of icons of the corporate past, I put up a blog yesterday on our MySpace claiming that I was going to single-handedly bring Fido Dido back. And I researched it after I posted the blog, and it took me about 5 seconds to realize that he is, in fact, back. And Ryan informed me that in Hong Kong, he has never left. Fido Dido is alive and kicking around the world.
Didn't so much leave us LA, as much as you thought.
The new commercials are really cool.
In a way, you got it done. You got the job done.
Look at the time that I posted the blog and look at my first comment
on
the blog.
5 minutes later.
It's not even like 5 minutes
later.
Yeah,
so it was one of those things where you were like, I better post a blog about this and then look it up just
in
case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fido Dido
was that sketched guy for 7-Up, right?
Yeah. And then he did some bumpers for some CBS cartoons.
That's pretty funny.
He did them himself.
He did, yeah.
He's not fictional.
He animated them himself.
In the new commercials, he is broken free from his two-dimensional lair, and now he lives in a 3D world. Eddie's computer animated, but he looks really, really cool.
Is he brought to you by the makers of Aha?
They still use like the same music from the old 80s cartoon, but it's all like updated.
That's cool. I'll have to check some of these Fido Didos out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I had an idea for a Mentos commercial this week.
Oh, yeah? Shoot. Yeah.
I'm not going to say it in case I ever get a job working for Mentos.
No, just say it because okay, I'm so really, really going to delay.
It starts off like any other Mentos commercial, of course, with the whole do-do-do-do-do-do-do-ah. So the Mentos addict, because the people in the commercial are total addicts, pulls up to the pump at a gas station and realizes he doesn't have any money and his tank is out of gas. So he takes the number down from his pump and puts it up on someone else's pump. The guy pulls up, goes inside and pays, looks at the number and pays for that number. And it goes to the Mentos addict's gas, you know, it goes to their pump.
Uh-huh.
They fill up their tank and then the guy's like trying to pump and nothing's coming out. And he goes and yells at the clerk. And as he looks out, the Mentos guy takes the number down and shows it to him and eats a Mentos and then drives off the tank full of gas. And of course, the guy who paid for the gas is left to just shrug and nod and smile as usual.
Fill up his tank real fast, chase him down and murder him.
And murder him in a ditch.
I think that's how they all end,
yeah,
right?
They don't show you that 5 part. 5 minutes after any Mentos commercial, the dupe kills the other one.
Because by the time it's made its way over here from Germany or wherever the hell those stupid commercials are made.
Or Atlantia, I'm positive. Yeah, they have to be foreign.
They cut that out.
But yeah, they're not foreign? I don't want
to
hear what you're saying,
Ryan. They used to be foreign. They're foreign.
They're foreign inspired.
What about the Reason commercials? Ryan is saying that he believes that the Mentos commercials are from Americandia.
Oh, well, Florida is like the Germany of America. So that's good enough. That's close enough for me.
With their crocodiles.
So there you go. There's my Mentos commercial. If anyone in the Mentos Corporation is listening, you know, give me a job. Eating delicious mints all day. Or dropping them in Diet Cokes. You seen that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought Carrie Byron all covered in Diet Coke.
I thought, who's that?
Carrie Byron from Mythbusters.
Oh, yeah.
On that FHM shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah.
That's what we got going on right now.
That was our week.
Coming up with commercials. That's what I did.
What do you say we get into Lost?
Let's do it. Let's get Lost, huh? All right.
A new hand signal. I'm understanding it now.
See, it's like a whole production thing.
Okay, so last
further
night's episode
instruction.
Is further instructions.
3x03.
I'm
so looking forward to this because I can tell that you hated it.
Yeah, I really, really did not like this episode. Did you read the blog?
Ralph actually texted me before I got here today and asked me, he said, straight up, yes or no, you have to let me know if you liked this episode. And I was like, yes. And they sent me a response saying, okay, good, we can have a podcast.
Yeah, I didn't want it to be a total hate fest. Something got in my craw while watching this episode.
When? When did you start having this craw thing?
I was into it and I enjoyed the dream sequence the vision quest or whatever that thing was.
Yeah, yeah.
Once Locke grabbed his knife and said his first words, which is, I have to save Mr. Echo.
Right.
I was like, awesome. Locke's back to himself, his old self.
Yeah,
I don't
season one Locke.
Yeah, I don't need a whole rest of the 40 minutes to be him walking around hunting down CG polar bears. It's just not very exciting.
It wasn't exciting when the polar bear came out of the darkness at him?
No.
I thought the polar bear, when it came out of the darkness, I thought it looked like the Nothing from The NeverEnding Story.
See, I haven't seen The NeverEnding Story since I was a kid.
Oh, Ryan says boo. NeverEnding Story had to have been made in foreign lands. It was made in Germany, which is Europe's Florida.
From
as a matter of fact,
from the director of Das Boot.
Oh, well, there you go. That's very interesting stuff. I disagree because I like polar bears running around, and I was happy to see the return of Classic Locke. Classic Locke. That's my favorite music to listen to on the radio. Is Classic Locke. But yeah, I liked the dream sequence. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, how could you not? Everybody liked the dream
sequence. Yeah, that was cool. Hey, so what did you think of Boone's hair? I'm not the wig expert, but...
No, Boone's hair was fine this episode.
Was it his hair the same as, like, from the funeral episode? Or was it different? Was it, like,
It was longer. It was, like, from more of, like, his flashback hair. I don't think Boone's hair got that long when he died.
That's what I'm saying, is, like... So when Locke had a vision of Boone, he had a vision of him looking in a way that Locke has never seen him.
Yes.
which is just another example of people on the island having these visions where they get information that they couldn't possibly have.
But when people die, their hair and nails continue to grow. Did you see did you see his nails?
So that's Boone's post-death hair?
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, it's the spirit of Boone, so.
Yeah, and he's been sitting there in his little spirit grave up on Grave Hill growing his hair.
Sweet.
Yeah, I liked that part. The flashbacks. What'd you think of the flashback story?
I thought the flashback was weak.
Did you want him to shoot the guy?
I didn't care.
I wanted
anything to happen in that flashback. I wanted that flashback to. It just. I felt that was my main problem. Was I felt that the flashback didn't parallel the island story as much as I've seen in the past.
It didn't tell the same story from a different perspective, or it didn't show Locke interacting with the same kind of.
I think that what happens is like what motivates the people on the island is their memories from the flashbacks.
Or the reason we see that flashback is because what's happening on the island reminds them of it. Either way.
It's the flashbacks equal the character's drive.
Ryan's getting all antsy in his pantsy. I believe he disagrees. Too bad you're over there, away from Mike Town.
And if you dare try to come over here to interrupt me and my hatred for this episode, I'm going to have to move back from the mic so you can't hear me. Ryan, you can't hear me. Am I coming in, Ryan? Can you hear me?
Come here,
come here. Get on my mic,
sweetheart. Step up to the mic and have an opinion.
What did you eat, man? This microphone smells. So nobody's monitoring my levels right now. I think it totally represented something that was going on the island, because essentially what Youngin McCop did to him is what False Gale did to him on the island, which is exploit him, exploit his trust, and use it to infiltrate his family.
Well, it's true that what happened to him with this FBI guy or cop or whatever, I think it's totally something that's like Locke's story now is he's the ultimate patsy, and anyone who comes along can just totally con him. But yeah, that's not what happened on the island. On the island, he was looking for a polar bear.
No, but I mean, what's happening, though, is it's going to strengthen his resolve. It's going to give him more motivation to go after this guy. It isn't just about, I need to get my friends back. It's like, this is the last time I'm going to get fucking dicked around by somebody I trust.
Oh, okay. And so when he has the flashback where they say, you have to clean up your own mess, and he doesn't, because I always talk about people making a different choice in the past than they do on the island. He sure. didn't shoot the cop, but now he has a chance to disobey the other's order and save Jack, Kate, and Sawyer.
Exactly. Although I was very happy that he did not shoot the cop, because I did not want Locke to be a murderer of a law enforcement official.
I didn't want Locke to be going 187 on no undercover cop, I'll admit. But it would put him in the club of people on the island that have killed people.
Yeah, but what a weak thing. I killed you because you know about our weed. That's so fucking weak. That's lame.
Yeah.
So I did not want that to happen. I'm very glad that he lowered the gun. Well, it's a very tense 7 or 8 seconds.
What you don't know is he didn't shoot him, but he did know that he was heading straight towards a patch of bees. So,
and he was allergic to bees. Dead. Remember that?
He was allergic to bees. Yeah. They set it up earlier in the episode, which I thought was odd. A 40 bee salad.
from the last episode. All right, it certainly isn't my place to talk about Lost. So I'm going to turn it back over.
How
to
dare you, sir?
Ralph, thank you for letting me use your microphone. By completely, when I found out that Ralph did not like last night's episode, and that he saw no connection between the flashback story and what happened on the island, I really lost my shit, and I couldn't allow you listeners to hear that without
you weren't gonna stand for that.
Certainly not. Okay, I'm going back to the levels.
What channel am I on, Ralph? Am I left or right?
We are on the same channel.
Oh, we're both all across the channels.
Yes.
Okay.
Because
I was gonna say Ryan could stay off my channel, but I guess
I don't think that I just thought the flashback was lame. I mean, I don't think that it really fit the Locke story as well as it should have.
Well, I mean, I guess I can see that, and it was unresolved, but I'm with Ryan. I think it showed a similar situation, which is what they all do, and it was interesting to see more of what happened to Locke as he went through that pathetic little life that he talked about.
Yeah. Maybe it would have been
joke by joke.
Maybe I would have enjoyed it more if maybe instead of lingering on the shot where whether Locke is going to shoot the kid or not, maybe if we saw his when he didn't shoot the kid, see how what emotional state he was in at that point, and that might tie into how he felt on the island. Like, I just felt like,
yeah,
I mean, it's not just that the story was left ambiguous, but John Locke's emotions at that point was left up in the air.
Yeah, like we didn't know if he how he felt about himself.
Yeah.
Whether he was proud that he had not killed someone, or if he was just disappointed that once again he'd let someone con the shit out of him. So
yeah,
I could see that. But the stuff that was going on the island, I thought was A-1. Hey, did you notice that Charlie tried his freaking doesn't call, doesn't write joke again?
I heard him say that. I didn't realize it was.
Yeah, he said it to Echo. Echo was building the church with them, and then he, you know, got that vision and decided he had to press the button. So Charlie shows up in the hatch and says something about, hey, you know, you move out, you never call, you never write. And then he tried it again. So I think Charlie is following the school of comedy where if no one laughs at your joke, you just keep trying it until someone finally does.
I you know what? I'm wondering if he's even said it more times.
Bernard has said it once.
Okay.
Bernard said it to Echo as well. He's like, you know, you live with a guy for 48 days and then you hardly ever see him. It was like the same kind of joke. What do you think about Desmond?
I thought that shit was awesome.
Freaking naked ass future talent Desmond.
Now you have to admit you would have rather seen more of that than the stuff Locke was doing.
Yeah, I would have rather seen more of that. All right.
See, that's what I'm talking
underneath
about.
Underneath that tie-dye. I think it was a tantalizing little glimpse. I bet, you know, I don't.
Jesus Christ.
A tantalizing little glimpse of his little brother.
That's just, wow.
The mini brother.
Wow.
I think that we probably won't see any more of that for a while, but it was cool. And I liked how it played out so naturally. It wasn't like, wait a minute, this hasn't happened yet. It took more, it was more of like Hurley saying, you know, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Did Desmond have that much of a beard in the last episode of last season?
Sure.
Are you sure?
There was only an hour and a half, or an hour and a half, a minute and a half recap at the beginning of the episode.
And was the beard the same length?
Sure. I'm not even, it's not even a...
You don't think it, you think...
I see where you're getting at. You're thinking of like maybe a time shift or something.
Something.
He's been, yeah. Man, you're really all about this. What's going on with the hair? And it's the way it figures into the time on the island.
Yeah. Hair is the one gauge I have. Hair and, you know,
nails.
My odometer and my speedometer.
Nails. Hair and nails.
Gauge jokes.
Gauge.
And my DeSoto.
Speaking of which, there was no DeSoto in this episode.
No. He's buggered off with the money. And did you see someone on the Blogspot? Was talking about how Helen was reading the obituaries and how that's kind of odd, and that was what got them to Anthony Cooper's funeral, and possibly Helen was in on
it. Yeah, she's part of the con.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I've heard that.
That was the first time I heard that. I was like, that's interesting, because it is a good point that nobody reads the obituaries. But that would be a really long con, so I don't know.
You know, hey.
We've been taught
when you're the real Sawyer.
Yeah.
Cons are pretty long.
Yeah, the cons are pretty long.
Long and tantalizing.
That was a long con. And it blew out Ryan's eardrums.
I really, like, honestly don't have much to say about this episode. Like,
I know you don't, man.
What else you got?
Okay, so we saw Desmond, which was cool. And Desmond apparently can tell the future or has already lived through the present.
Yeah.
And also, he was very intent on throwing his rocks into the ocean.
When I saw that, I told this to Ryan earlier. He weren't here. But I said he reminded me of Nell. No, I haven't seen the Jodie Foster film.
No.
I haven't seen the Jodie Foster film, but... for some reason, he reminds me of Nell.
So, you've never seen it, but that's what he reminds you of?
Yeah.
She probably looks like that.
I saw the trailer.
Oh, God. I saw that trailer a lot that year for some reason.
Wasn't she skipping rocks in a bathrobe or something? She's looking all retarded.
And she was like, she had been improperly socialized, so she couldn't learn language or something.
On a mo, chante.
She was like a feral child.
I don't know what she said. It was very funny.
She was like freaking Keith Richards.
What?
It's the King's English, man.
I have no idea what that's from.
Saturday Night Live.
Oh, I remember. Okay. You want to go through?
Yeah, there was Desmond. He was hucking rocks into the ocean, and then the final shot of the episode was that reverse angle where I was like, Jesus, that's not what you look like when you're hucking rocks around. You're supposed to just be, you know, kicking back, dazed, but he was ready for I don't know what.
Something's going on in his brains, dude.
And he hadn't changed yet. They'd been back at camp for who knows how long.
Something's up with that dude.
He'd been back long enough for those two new people to complain that Hurley had been back and not told them the story.
Yeah.
And yet he was just walking around. He was like, man, tie-dye's getting enough.
People are all up in arms about these two new people.
You got to have new people.
Yeah, I mean, at first I just thought they were just randos that they, you know, gave lines to. But apparently one of the actors is from, like, Love Actually. And
oh, really?
They're, like, real actors. So I guess they're new characters.
I would rather them have, you know, two or three lines to randos every week and then kill one of them than have someone be like, hey, I'm the new guy.
Like Arts.
Yeah, like Arts, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm hoping they don't show up like next week as major roles. Maybe give them a couple weeks off, let them come in a little bit more, bring them after the break.
I mean, it's too bad they can't just bump up someone we've already seen, like Log-Carrying Guy or Striped Shirt Girl or something.
Yeah.
Like, I know it'd probably not work, but I would feel better about a new character being someone that we'd seen before.
Or give some lines to Claire.
They took my baby.
Oh,
they've given her plenty of lines, bro.
Squinchy, squinchy.
Plenty of lines.
Squinchy, Claire.
Squinchy.
Want to go through the notes I took?
Yes, I love.
I watched
the
episode one and a half times.
Wow,
I didn't make it through the second time all the way. I couldn't. I just was whatever. Are these? I'm trying to like get the good note. I'm trying to take notes that are nice. And
you
not,
have a problem
not hateful.
The way we're set up with our recording is I can only watch Lost once.
Yeah.
And
but this is good because we can, I mean.
I just have to go off your notes.
But you know that.
It's like school.
You remember the episode. I just bring up the totally like stupid shit that no one would even care about.
So let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Charlie's mullet.
Yeah, it's getting a little
different
woolly
than the last time we saw him.
Is it really?
Dude, his hair looked fucking weird.
And you said I was focused on hair.
No, dude, his hello. And his hair, like his beard, chin, he looked like he had no chin in this episode.
You know, it's got to be really hard to do scruffy continuity.
No, but he looked like a completely different person.
Really?
His neck looked giant, and he just looked bizarre.
Poor Charlie.
And he was wearing bell bottoms.
And he fought, you know, after getting billed in two episodes in the season, finally to show up in the third. Good for him.
Yeah.
A-A-A.
I have some notes, two notes from the dream sequence, or the vision quest. I've been calling it a vision quest because whatever.
Was, I mean, he went into a sweat lodge and ate peyote. It's a freaking vision quest.
Yeah. So I put
peyote pudding.
Boone tells Locke about when he points at Claire and Charlie, and he says they'll be fine for a while.
For a while.
So that's good to know. They'll be okay.
Yeah, it's good for you to know because it means we probably won't have to see them for a while.
Yes.
Yes.
No, I like Claire and Charlie. Just Claire, just her face is too squinchy. Every single time she's concerned or confused, her face turns into a vortex black hole of wonder.
Yeah, it's drawing something forth. My boner.
there you go.
Hey, I wanted
the
to
absence
say
of light.
It was good that it was good that Charlie. I felt that Charlie finally got some back from Locke. He didn't get so much like an apology ever, did he?
No.
But he did kind of, you know, straight up say, yeah, you punched me in the face.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. I liked that.
I thought Charlie was cheeky this episode.
Yeah. And I think he's back on the Locke team. It took like just this episode and he's on the Locke
team. See how quick that took?
Yeah.
It took him like 3 minutes.
Yep.
It doesn't really take that long for us to accept change. That's why I think that Locke took forever. Once he got the knife back in his hand, I was good to go with knowing that it was old Locke. I didn't need to. Yeah,
by the way, putting that knife back in his hand was a bad idea for Hurley, apparently.
Yeah.
Good thing he had that damn canteen. That's messed up.
Hurley's tough, dude.
Hurley's tough, even but if he can't hit, take a knife even, blast to the face.
Well, it didn't hit his face. It was like more towards his stomach.
Okay. Well, that he probably could have walked away from. But without the doctor, all they'd have is Bernard to look at his teeth while he bleeds out.
Sweet. Maybe I should have hit him in the face.
Have you been flossing? What else? Give us more notes.
Another line that Boone says during the vision quest is Desmond's helping himself.
Yeah.
That dude's fucking off the map. I swear to you, dude, that's the greatest thing. I'm glad to see that someone's just...
Desmond thing's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, he's crazy.
And he's never been, like, part of anyone's team. For, like, one episode last year where he helped Locke, you know, shut out Echo and Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see what he does, especially now that he's got this weird X factor from the latch, the hatch implosion.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, I really liked the Vision Quest.
It was enjoyable. It was just cool to see everybody.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably the first time we've seen everybody.
And it was like everyone was shifted in their
acting. And even Gale was in there.
And I liked, did you notice that Sawyer and Kate were chatting it up and Jack was not, and he was kind of sad about that?
It looked like, were Sawyer and Kate exchanging phone numbers?
Or something, yeah. They were definitely getting it on.
I don't think it's a big deal.
I mean, hitting it off.
I don't think what they were doing in Locke's Vision Quest matters.
Well, I think it does. I mean, if we're going to accept that everything else might be real.
Yeah, but I don't think it's... I don't know.
I'm not saying, oh, my yeah, it's all over for Jack. I'm just saying, hey, isn't that interesting? Based on what we saw from...
But Gale was checking his
Gale was the
luggage.
Security guy.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
He's going to strike a deal with Gale.
He is. He's going to strike a deal with the security guard that is Henry Gale. A.K.A. Benjamin
Linus.
Linus. All right, what else you got for notes, dude?
I really don't have much left.
Because you hated the episode.
I really didn't like the episode. And, I mean, I'm going to watch it again. It'll grow on me, but just right now it's not doing it for me. I did write down notes that have nothing to do with this episode other than the fact that a polar bear was in it.
Okay.
And it's, if you guys get a chance to see a BBC, I think it's a BBC documentary. Blue Planet. There's awesome footage of polar bears huddled around an ice hole. That's the only ice hole for like miles. Mm-hmm. And there's these beluga whales that are under this ice hole and have to come up every 20 minutes as long as they can hold their breath. They all come up at the same time to catch their breath and get back under before the polar bears try to reach in and grab them and pull them out.
That's awesome.
What's awesome is the polar bears succeed and get one of the whales.
Oh, snap.
It's awesome. Polar bears kick ass.
Yeah, they're pretty
fun. But real
terrifying
ones, not CGI ones.
Right.
One too many CGI shots last night. But is it on the whole, polar bears kick ass.
I think if a polar bear kicked ass on your hole, you'd be in sorry shape, my friend.
I'd be entertained, though.
You'd be in tatters.
I'd be totally entertained.
You'd be in entertained tatters.
Polar bears eat a lot of boar there, you know?
Yeah.
You look that up?
And clearly humans with a Dharma the Pearl messenger bag.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
It was.
And Locke pulled the old hairspray flamethrower technique.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed that he wasn't throwing fireballs.
Hadoukens.
That would have been awesome.
Was happen.
That episode would have been awesome if he just threw one fireball.
Just like they came out of the hatch.
Desmond's
going to. Desmond can see the future. Desmond's
going to throw fireballs.
Nice.
He's going to throw fireballs, and then Echo's going to, I don't know, be able to become invisible.
I got nervous for Echo. Like, I didn't really. Once they got out of the polar bear cage, for some reason, I was like, oh, they're safe now because polar bears can't stand daylight.
They can't, dude.
For some reason, once
polar
they were
bears,
out of.
Polar bears like cold.
Well, they're on the jungle island.
That's why he's in a cave, because it's nice and cool
nice
in there.
Nice and cold in there? Well, at any rate, I was like, oh, they're safe, until one of my roommates looked at Echo and said, oh, he's an active kill. And I was like, oh, snap, they're going to bring in the whole active kill thing that they just taught us about and have it be about Echo being still hunted by the polar bear.
But they didn't.
And then they didn't. Yeah.
So. That's all I got, dude. I have no notes.
Well, okay.
The only other note I have is that Tom Cruise was in MI3.
That's true.
That J.J. Abrams directed.
Uh-huh.
And Tom Cruise was also in War of the Worlds.
Right.
With that kid who played Eddie.
Yes.
And so that's where J.J. got the idea to use that kid Eddie. It's from Tom Cruise.
You know, I could not place him all night last night. I had to.
Were you like, I know it's not Billy Boyd.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, God. I was like, it'd be very sad if they had Billy Boyd on and Dominic didn't even get to be in a scene with him.
Let alone several scenes that necessitate a rack.
Or a whole scene rack. I was like, oh, who's this kid? Who's this kid? And I looked him up and he was on Weeds also.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't watch other TV.
Well, you know what you do
except
watch.
Except for Blue Planet, apparently.
Yeah. And
Lost.
Conan.
And Conan.
And
Mythbusters and South Park. And
Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
I don't watch that. Anyway, that's all we have for Lost, I think. But do you have anything else to say about the episode? Further instructions?
No, I don't have anything.
Why
else
was
to
it
say
called that?
Further. Oh well, why was it called that? Yeah, that's a like regular feature with us. I think. Yeah, exactly. He got further instructions from the island in the form of a Boone vision.
Sweaty Boone,
which we all want. But you know what they say, Ralph. I know you didn't like this episode, but if you don't like an episode of Lost, just wait till next week.
Yes.
So let's take a look what's coming up next week.
All right, man.
All right, coming up on Lost.
Next week on Lost is Every Man for Himself, which looks like it's a Sawyer episode.
Ooh.
And I guess apparently we're going to either not find out or find out or what, whether Kate loves Sawyer.
They sure
because
asked her enough.
They asked her, I swear to God, it was like, how many times, your estimate, how many times do you think they asked, do you love him?
About 8. At least between
I'm
8 and 10.
8 and like 9,000.
Between
it
8
was
and
a lot.
1,000, yeah. That was a 10-second trailer.
And it was to the point where I'm like, they're not going to answer it next week. I know it.
They're not going to even ask it.
They'll ask it.
But
it's gonna push in on Kate's about to say what her answer is and then go to credits.
Why? Like, why is he so interested in knowing whether she loves that man?
And it's mind games.
Is it? Yeah.
Sure.
Part of their whole breaking procedure.
You can know the others know everything about the Losties.
All right. From who they were.
But they just know everything. They seem to know everything.
Uh huh.
What they don't know is their emotions.
Uh-huh.
They could tinker with them, but they don't know how someone's feeling at any time because individuals' emotions are that just that, individuals.
They're private.
So to get in someone's head and find out if they love somebody, it makes them understand those people more than just papers can tell you.
So it's about gathering information.
Yeah.
Well,
and getting into their head and fucking with them.
It just seems like they're so hyper-motivated. I can't wait to find out what, if anything, makes them decide that this is the way to be on this island here.
I don't know.
It definitely looks like, from that part of the episode, it looks interesting. Mm. I haven't looked at any pictures or anything yet, so I don't know what Sawyer's flashbacks are going to be. You think we get to find out who the real Sawyer is?
I don't know. It's one of those things where I mentioned on the blog that there's some mysteries I really don't want to know. I've stopped caring about what made Locke's leg stop working.
Yeah.
Because by the time they finally tell us, it's going to be a disappointment.
Well, there's some mysteries.
What Kate did was a disappointment to me.
There's some mysteries that just don't matter. Like,
yeah.
I don't see why there has to be a who's the real Sawyer.
Yeah,
like, it doesn't have to be someone we know.
Yeah.
Just because it's Lost. I mean,
if they do finally tell us, it better be mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, just let it go.
Yeah.
It's
like Desmond in the future that did it or something.
Yeah.
Do you remember in Kill Bill Volume 1 when they kept bleeping out the bride's name?
Yes.
And I was like, what's the point? Because once you find out her name, unless her name is like, you know, Mother Teresa or something, unless she's someone famous, it's not important what her name was this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I feel about some of these mysteries. Like who cares? Because it's not important.
Yeah.
It'll add an element to the show. It'll add another layer as long as it's not too overreaching and too silly.
Yeah.
But I don't get too wrapped up in it.
We'll see next week. Sawyer episodes are kind of hit and miss with me. They're not really super spectacular, but I mean, hey.
Is next week our spooky episode?
I believe it is our spooky episode.
Because the one after that would be after Halloween.
Yeah, we'll do. Are you ready to go next week for your Halloween?
I am going to be so spooktacular.
What are you going to be for Halloween, Ben?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know?
No, I won't tell.
What are you
going to
be for Halloween?
I can't tell you.
Ah, see. We don't like to say what we're going to be for Halloween because...
It's more fun.
It's more fun. And also, my whole thing is I can tell you what I'm going to be, and then you'll think about it and think of how awesome that could look. And then you'll see my shitty construction.
And they'd be disappointed.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you going as what Kate did?
Exactly.
All right. What do you say we get into music? Jimmy sent us another awesome thing.
Another excellent piece from Jimmy. Let's listen to this one.
Let's listen to Jimmy's piece.
Zip.
It's all about style this week on the Darmalar's Lost Score. Hey, what's up, Lost Initiative aficionados? It's Jimmy here in Seattle. The best part of being part of the Darmalars is it's all about truth and honesty. And I have to tell you, I actually didn't think that the Glass Ballerina musically was that interesting. I mean, it was actually quite a good episode, and the music we did get was perfectly fine, but it certainly didn't have the impact, I think, and the better-known themes and basically the spectacular start musically that the season opener did. Not to worry, though. There was still plenty to talk about. So let's just take a listen to the music that's playing in the background here. Now, this piece is called The Final Countdown, and it's very prevalent throughout Season 2. And, in fact, last night's episode, Further Instructions, that many of us have just seen, actually started with this in the, the preview, I guess, the wrap-up. Now, you'll notice that this track that we're listening to has some extremely strict rhythmic patterns to it. And, they repeat persistently. And there's occasionally a little modification, but generally much the same as the sequence of notes. Last week I actually mentioned the phrase ostinati, or sometimes ostinato, both acceptable, which is a well-known style and form of music with repetitive patterns, and often of which are quite simplistic and usually within the same tone, if not exactly the same tone. And this is something that Giacchino obviously uses a lot in The Lost Score, because this is the kind of music that was quite prevalent in the Glass Ballerina between scenes, especially scenes involving tension. A good example of this would actually be the scene on the boat when Soon, we believe, took out Connie. So if you just listen to this music as bare and as minimalist as it is, it's a very good example.
Despite what you may think, I am not the enemy. We are not the enemy. But if you shoot me, that's exactly what we'll become.
I will. I'll shoot you.
Actually, I have to admit, I was kind of sad Connie got shot. I hope she's okay. Anyway, as you can see, that was very similar, actually, to the track, The Final Countdown. But, you know, it was still technically, I think, just incidental music. But as you can see, it's definitely a style of this show. Another example of simplicity is playing in the background now. You'll notice that this track, which is known as Life and Death, originally from Season 1, and also very very easily identified with the show, it comes up from time to time. You'll notice also that this is actually a very simplistic piece of music. Once again, just really a series of repeating sequences, or should I say repeating chords. But what I really want to stress is that although I've pointed out now 2 weeks in a row about the simplicity of some of this music, it is by no means, I want to make sure you realize, it's by no means taking anything away from Michael Giacchino, because I'm beginning to come to the conclusion that if anybody understands that less is more as a composer, it's certainly this man. Now, the bad news about the episode Further Instructions that we just saw was that I thought it was a bit overacted and sometimes poorly acted and was a little heavy on exposition. But the good news is, I thought musically, it was very interesting. And I actually have quite a lot to say next week. So, this is Jimmy in Seattle, saying goodbye from a very rainy city tonight. Namaste.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy.
Once again, that was awesome, Jimmy. Glad to have him on board. The Darmalar's crew.
You know what? I think Jimmy should do for one of these things, like if we're on a hiatus or something. I'd like to hear Jimmy tell the story of Peter and the Wolf.
Why?
Because I think he's got a cool voice, and he's got that like very NPR like production style where it's very clean and clear, and then the music is.
How long is Peter and the Wolf?
I don't know. 17 minutes.
Yikes.
I'm just saying.
I mean, you put it out there, so I guess it's up
to him.
It's
probably public domain, Jimmy. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm just saying.
Some of the music, I did write down some notes on Further Instructions, which I talked to Jimmy today via email and did say that I really noticed the music this week, which he was saying the same thing, which isn't necessarily a good thing because the story should be intriguing enough that you don't really. Aren't paying attention to the music,
you were bored enough that you had time to listen.
Yeah, and there was a couple of cool things with the opening of the show on Locke's Eye was very similar to the pilot episode, the way it was shot, and you get a couple of those low beats on the drums or whatever instrument that is that are reminiscent of the pilot episode opening scene, but it was to the tune of Locke's theme, which was really cool.
That is cool. That's a good mix of the two.
And I heard a new four-note motif that was played throughout the jungle walking around scenes.
Is it the polar bear's theme?
I have no idea. I don't recognize it. Maybe Jimmy will take a look into it and let us know next week.
I guess it's hard to know until they release a score album. To know what a track might be called.
I guess. Or if you start hearing it in certain places, you kind of just associate it with, like, tracking the jungle or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, because there was definitely one for the first season that was on one of the first season menus that was definitely a tracking through the jungle music.
Did you notice that when Locke woke up or opened his eye at the beginning of the episode, he seemed to be almost in exactly the same pose where he was in when he saw... the island thing the first time, by the way?
The like the smoke monster?
Yeah.
No, I didn't notice.
At least that's what I thought. Or was he standing? Oh, never mind. Keep going about the music.
Yeah, he was standing at that point. But no, that's all the notes I have. And on the music. There was a lot of music in it, but I wasn't able to really look into it too much great detail. There was a blue song at the beginning. I didn't catch the title of it.
There was a Geronimo Jackson reference, which was hammered home. I thought, it's okay to just wear a Geronimo Jackson
shirt.
Thank
you. Agree with me on that one.
Yeah. You don't have to be like, hey, is that Geronimo Jackson?
What? You mean Geronimo Jackson?
What, this shirt I'm wearing? Yeah. Maybe our viewers might recognize it.
No, they don't? Here, let me say Geronimo Jackson.
Maybe not everyone has an HDF TV.
Maybe Geronimo Jackson's Desmond's future band.
Sweet. So, they do all Mama Cass covers.
Yeah.
And he listened to it in the hatch the whole time, not even knowing that that was him on bass.
Sweet.
Yeah. It is sweet.
All right. So I'm done. Seriously, I knew the show was going this way as soon as I started recording. Next week's going to be awesome.
Every man will be for himself.
Yes. I will be with Ben. Wait, what?
Every man for himself and Ralph for me.
Yes.
And so, what do we do now?
All for one and one for Lars. What?
Are we still in the music section? Do we have to kick it to
No, we're done with music. We've been done with music for hours.
All right, well, then let's get out.
No, we're getting out. That's what's happening right now. I don't know what you're ready for. Get out of here.
I can leave now.
Get out of here.
I'm gonna
got a few calls from for the You All Everybody segment.
Good.
One of my favorite ones is a one-word response to last night's episode.
Good. I'm looking forward to some of those. You know what? I took extensive notes. I literally did. I sat and listened to the podcast last Thursday and wrote notes on each call like I was going to respond to them all.
How'd that
I left
go?
It at home.
Yeah.
because I can never take a piece of paper out of my house for some reason.
It's, yeah.
My
it's
house like is a fucking paper
a reverse
vortex.
Vampire.
Yes. Yes, my house is a reverse vampire.
It needs to be asked to leave in order for it to be able to leave.
That's right. It doesn't have any power in the outside world.
Reverse vampire.
Find it out.
Ryan doesn't understand vampire lore like we do.
Do you remember any of those calls? Do we want to crack back
on? Oh, yeah. There was the one where the guy said, "This is your roommate, Ben." As if it was your fault that it took Goodwin a million years to rent in. Wait, was that last week? I don't know,
that,
dude.
That was Tony. He hiccuped. That was 2 weeks ago. But we did get a call from Jeff in Seattle, and that was awesome.
Yes, we got a call from Jeff. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Yeah, Jeff is a buddy of ours that moved to Seattle, and it was cool to hear from him on the podcast.
It's cool to hear from all of you guys on the podcast, even if you are just our friends and you're just calling to say hey. But it's good to hear from people who aren't our friends and people who are our future friends. Everybody's our friend.
Friends we haven't met. So, yeah, give us a call. Let us
be our friend.
Our show or that Lost show or anything else you want to shout out about.
It is a global soapbox.
That's right. Step on up.
Say whatever
have a
you
stand.
Say whatever you guys want.
That's right. So, and the phone number is on the screen, right? So
the phone number is on screen, but for you blind listeners, the phone Ryan
for the blind man.
Jeez, my gosh, you guys are. Why are you laughing at that?
I'm not laughing this time.
It was always laughing. Oh, because it was so funny last week.
For you, for anyone at home that can't read the
anybody
number.
Who's not subscribed to or listening on iTunes,
yeah,
the Dharma line is 206-338-4261. That is
206-338-4261.
Yeah, awesome memory. I have to like have it in front of me all the time. If you guys want to use your hands to email us, that's dharmalars@gmail.com.
Using electricity.
Yeah. If you guys want to buy a screenplay, send an email to me.
Send an email to
dharmalars. I'm looking to make millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Stop by scottandsteveblogspot.com. That's where I've been trashing last night's episode.
You know what? I can't go on the blogspot at all until after we do our podcast.
Go for it. As long as we don't have immediate interaction with each other, we'll be
fine.
But
I'll run out of things to say about Lost. I'll use up my A game on the blogspot. And believe me, if you heard my A game here tonight, think how bad my B game would be. You know what I'm saying?
MySpace.com/Dharmalars.
MySpace.com/Dharmalars for all your Dharmalars MySpace needs.
Check out that Fido Dido video I put up.
Check out all of our sweet pictures. They're sweet.
We got some more listeners buying some Malcolm and Dharmalars merch.
Nice.
Send those pictures if you get that stuff. I want to
see everyone wearing everything.
I want it to look like a shrine to us
and
our awesomeness.
Everything.
Show
if
me
you're
everything.
Wearing, if you bought 10 buttons, put them all on and take a picture.
Mike, if you bought that Dharmalars thong, flaunt it.
Oh, I bought some ABC Lost merchandise. I got the puzzle. It
gross.
Arrived today.
Gross.
Yeah.
Did you also get some ABC gum?
Yes, my puzzle has already been chewed, which should make it easier for me to put it together.
You just mold it into a big blob
yeah,
and
just smack it together.
Hammer it out.
It's 1,000 pieces, so thanks a lot, Amy and Little Rock, for telling me that I should buy a puzzle.
Is that a lot of pieces for a puzzle these days?
I don't know. When was the last time I put together a puzzle?
I don't know.
Well, shit, then neither of us know.
Well, hurry up and put it together, and I can figure it out for next time.
I'm going to put it together, and then we'll take a look at it. But it might not have to be until after Halloween. So,
what are you going to be for Halloween?
Oh, well, it turns out I'm going to wait.
All right, guys.
All right, so thanks for listening to the Dharmalars.
You all, everybody.
Yeah, we're going to send it out with a little you all, everybody. And so you got a line to go out on?
Oh, shoot. I was actually done. I forgot that we actually have a sort of a format going
on. We have
here.
A format where you go out on a line, and I picked a catchphrase, and I'm sticking with it.
Well, I'm sticking to our format. I do not have a line ready. So
that is a good format. All
so
right, well,
let's do this. Give me a movie.
I'm going to freaking go with Total Recall again if I'm not
all careful. Right, Total Recall.
Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes?
Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
No, I don't know that one.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Radar. No, I'm gonna do Ghostbusters. All right, let's go.
You got Ghostbusters. All right. Well, I'd like to thank producer Ryan for kipping out on the bed, giving us some hand signals, and thanks, Ralph. And for everyone else, I'll talk to you next week. Hasta la vista.
There they are. The lady says that at Ghostbusters. What?
The stones were taken from here.
That's not Ghostbusters.
You are. Namaste, I'm Elaine. This is the Ineffable. I just wanted to call. I was listening to a few other podcasts, and people seem to be speculating about whether or not Jay Lee and Sun actually consummated the relationship. I mean, was I the only one that saw Jay Lee give her a pearl necklace? Hello! All right, guys. You have a good one.
Hey, what's up, Ben and Ralph? This is Official Ben. I'm the one who called in about the Rose and Bernard thing. And just to set things straight, I didn't want them to duel or anything, but I am predicting that one of them will kill the other. And I'm leaning a lot more towards Rose killing Bernard, because I agree with Jack from the Jane Jack podcast that she's got to be Dharma. So, anyways, yeah, you guys crack me up. I love your podcast a whole lot, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Diamond Lanes. Oh, this is the Ineffable again. I just started listening to your Glass Ballerina podcast and stole my joke. It's not fair. But you did bring something up that I had a comment on. You wondered if Jay Lee was the one that got her pregnant. I think it was, because for one, the whole scene with Kate and the pregnancy test, and Kate's like, who brings a pregnancy test on a plane? And Sun just kind of gives this like worried shrug, like you know, it was basically the pregnancy test was Sun's. She brought it on the plane because she already was late and she thought she was pregnant. That's why she brought it on the plane. So that's my theory. Namaste, guys. I'll be listening.
Hey, Darmalars, what's up? This is Tori from Oregon. I have a few comments about the episode, The Glass Ballerina. Because I'm Korean American, I have a little more insight into last week's episode. Okay, first off, the subtitles. They do not show everything that's being said on the show. They're usually not even the same exact sentence. Sun or Jin says something that conveys the same message, but it's not what's being said on the subtitles. Not only that, but the subtitles shorten what's being said as well, which is why it sounds like they're taking forever to say one sentence, when in reality they might be speaking two sentences for every one. Okay. Second, a lot of people ask me if marriages are like that in South Korea. The answer is no, not at all, because Jin and Sun's relationship seems very, very old-fashioned. I mean, that's how it was in the 1950s, but it's almost unheard of today by today's standards. Okay, and last but not least, I don't remember who brought this up on Darmalars, but Jin is not saying U-boat. Yeogol means sweetheart or honey, which is why both Sin and Jin and Sun called each other that during the episode. Anyway, that's all for me. Sorry if I spoke way too long, but just want to say that I love the podcast, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
I think the Darmalars are great.
Meh. Hey Ralph and Ben, it's Amy in Little Rock. I just wanted to say good luck with the show tonight. I know that there's been some heated discussion on the blog today. I haven't been in the best mood, but I felt compelled to defend the episode. I've only watched it once, and it usually takes a couple times to have an educated opinion, but my first impressions were that it was at least entertaining, and it felt a lot closer to season one than it was to season two. I know the flashback was pretty stinky, and you know the connections to what was going on to the island were really, really weak, and there were a lot of other kind of crappy things that happened and stuff, but the Boone thing was really, really cool, and it was so nice to see him again. It made me miss him so much. I almost wanted to cry from seeing him again. And I liked that dream sequence. I don't care what anybody says about that. That dream sequence was really cool. I liked it. Anyways, good luck, guys. I will talk to you later. Namaste.